and welcome to minute 35 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off this week is John of the Dirty Harry Minute. Welcome back, John.
Thanks for having me. You're hearing me all the way from Stubville.
As long as you're not just letting yourself drool and then wiping it with your hand, then we're good.
No, it's Friday here. The weekend hasn't really started yet. But
no. Okay. All right, well, episode 35 begins with Owen trying to set things straight and ends with Del saying 30 miles. So yesterday we saw that Del and Neil are sitting and waiting for Owen, who's Gus's son, to show up and take them to catch a train. And Owen is a pretty strange fella.
To put it mildly.
He squeals like a pig. He snorts like a pig. And just basically makes both Neil and Del feel quite uncomfortable. So Owen starts by saying, "So I'm to drive you to Wichita to catch the train?" And the response is, "Yeah, we'd appreciate it." And he goes, "Train don't run out of Wichita. Lessen you a hog or a cattle." And then once again, continues to squeal like a pig.
A hog or a cattle. I love that little
touch. That's right.
Instead of bullet holes in his car?
I think so.
Bullet holes?
They look like that, okay. Yeah. And then he goes, "People train runs out of Stubville."
What a name. Is it a real place?
No.
Such a Stubville, great name.
Stubville is a completely made-up place, and the actual train goes out of a place called Newton. So it is true that the trains do not go out of Wichita itself. Mm. So I found that very interesting. And then it made me wonder. So originally, the railway station in Wichita was called the Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all the trains would go. And in 1979, they closed down the railroad station, and it's now used for commercial office spaces. Okay, the Union Station actually opened in 1914. And in the 1930s, it actually served as the primary point of arrival for travelers who were coming to the city, especially when they were working on the railways that were, you know, people were going out west via the railways. And they offered passenger services to and from cities like Chicago, L.A., St. Louis. So in 1979, as I mentioned earlier, they closed it down when Amtrak discontinued their Lone Star line, which is the Chicago-Houston line, which I find really funny because we do have a connection there to John Candy with Spaceballs, you know, Lone Star.
Yes, very good.
So the nearest city where there is a station that for people getting on people trains, as opposed to a hog or a cattle, it's not in Stubbsville. It's in a place called Newton, which is 25 miles north. Hmm. And at that point, that is a place that's known as the Southwest Chief because it has a lot of trains that go from Chicago to LA from there. Wow. So that the station was actually built as a Tudor revival in 1929, and it was actually modeled after Shakespeare's house in Stratford-on-Avon.
Wow.
And the Newton station was actually added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1985. And it is
this movie.
Yeah. And from 2015 to 2019, it was consistently the most frequented Amtrak station in Kansas.
Wow.
So, I mean, for me, I wonder why they just didn't say that the train goes out of Newton instead of Stubbsville. Like, why? I mean, it's funnier to say Stubbsville. There's no question about
that. Comedians say the S, more words beginning with S are comedically potent than N, I think, even though N's a very popular consonant as well. Newton.
Could be.
Well,
could
I've got, While I've got you, is it 50-50 proposition St. Louis or St. Louis? Or do we have to ask?
50-50.
What do you say?
I call it St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah, no.
Yeah. That's what I call it, you know.
So, oh, God. And on top of that, is it St. Louis or St. Louis, you know?
I would say St.
Louis.
All right, I would say St.
Okay.
So at this point, then, both Dell and Neil say, that'll be fine. That'll be just fine. That'll be great. You know, they're like, okay, take us wherever you need to take us and just get out of here. And then they start trying to pick up the steamer trunk. And then Owen forcefully stops them by saying, leave it be. And then he looks into the truck where we saw in the truck that he has, there's a woman, there's a baby, and there's a child in there. And then he screams and says, get your lazy behind out of there and put that trunk up in the back. And the woman then hands the baby over to her child. This is an actress named Luli Newcomb, who only has 5 TV credits and 2 movie credits. Her 2 movie credits are this movie and the movie known as The Big Picture with Kevin Bacon. Again, a connection. You know, she's actually someone, if you look at from 6 Degrees of Separation, she, both of her movies that she's been in have Kevin Bacon in them. So, you know, she's only 1 degree separation from Kevin Bacon in twice.
Nice.
So that's pretty interesting. And then Neil and Dell start to protest. No, we got it. It's very heavy. So, first of all, it's funny that they say it's very heavy because doesn't Dell lug this around with him everywhere? So he's used to the weight. This isn't something that, it's not like, unless they stole things from the motel or something like that. So everything's a little, you know, they put the TV in there. So, okay, it's a little heavier to carry at this point. I don't know.
No, he's an honest man, Dell. We've established that he'd never do that.
That's true. But I just think it's funny the fact that they're protesting and saying that it's very, very heavy for them to have to take it. And then Owen has a great response. He says, she don't mind. She's short and skinny, but she's strong. Her first baby, it come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
Lovely.
So I actually looked that up. And so, well, first of all, Let's go back 1 second. Do you think Owen is doing this out of hospitality, or is he trying to show that he's the man of the house?
I think it's a mixture of both. He wants to show that he, you know, he can be relied on to give them full valet, so full service. But also, he's quite proud in a perverse way that he's got a tough as nail wife who can do these things, which I don't doubt.
That's true. Yeah. Right. So I back to the fact that he says that she, her, the baby, who apparently is the child in the, because he said her first baby is it could be the child that's there. Maybe they have other kids somewhere else, but based on what we see. So a baby that is sideways in the woman's belly is known as a transverse baby. And in these situations, when they're not able to turn the baby at all, they will always do a C-section.
Yeah, so, of course. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fun and funny that he says this, you know, that the baby came out sideways, but that's just completely impossible. And the two of them feign that they're impressed with it by saying, isn't that something? And then Dell says, he looks at her and says, you're a real trooper. Yes, what were we starting to ask?
I was going to say, they could, what do you think, they could have played this two ways, using special effects or something, not to denigrate the actress, but they could have literally had a trick photography to actually have her picking up the heavy, well, by weight of cinema magic, you could just have her pick up the, do you think that would have been a better option than just sort of them taking the steam trunk itself? They could have had her like effortlessly pick it up and put it in the back.
I would actually would just be a say waste of that time? No, I like the fact that they do this together because this is the first time in the movie where we see solidarity between Dell and Neil. And I think that's very important. You know, this is the beginning of their friendship. It's not something that will continue. There will be breaks along the way, But finally, Neil and Dell are on the same page, and they're both like, no pun intended, even though Neil's last name is Page. But
a good point. Very good point.
I mean, they're feigning that they're impressed about the whole thing, and they want to help her out. And they, you know, they lifted up themselves, and you see that the two of them seem to be struggling, which again goes back to what I said earlier. You know, if Dell is lugging this around the entire country all the time, so he's used to it. And if he wouldn't be used to it, then he should be having something else in his luggage.
Mm.
So, and then they basically say, yeah, we've got it already. It's done. And we don't see them put it into the truck itself, which is fine. We see them just struggling a little bit with it. And when they say this, so Owen and his wife are both looking at them strangely, which says so much about both of them, including Owen's wife, you know, that for her, yes, this is her job to pick up the trunk and put it in. Like, why are they doing this? And, you know, then we get some country music being played as they, you know, we see the two of them in the back of the pickup. And it must be freezing. You can see how cold the two of them look. Dell is so cold. And there's also wind because, you know, it's a windy trip on the back of this truck. Dell is there, you know, uses both hands to hold onto his hat so it doesn't fly off. And Neil, obviously, once again, doesn't have his gloves, so he is freezing. It is really cold for him. And then Dell turns to Neil and has to basically shout at him so he can hear it. He says, you know, Stubville's a little further than Wichita. And the response is, well, how much further? And he goes, 30 miles. Now, I mean, we mentioned earlier that Newton is 25 miles. So they're pretty close with that, by the way that they do that, which is pretty good.
I have to do the mental arithmetic that 30 miles is like 50 Ks. So, you know, it could be an extra half an hour or something.
It's not as if they checked to see. They didn't have the internet to check to see when the next train is going, you know. They're going to get there and find out that they missed the train by 5 minutes and the next one's tomorrow. Who knows?
Do you see the two pieces of straw on Neil's jacket, his coat? You reckon they've probably sticky scotch taped that down? So anyway, it's a nice little touch.
I didn't notice it before, but I think you're right. It's something. I mean, it's to show nice that, okay, touch. And you can see a little one on his pants also.
Mm.
You know, that they had to go through straw to sit in the back of this truck. So you have anything else for this minute?
Not specifically about this
minute.
Okay,
so let's get into the script a little bit. There's a few discrepancies in the script. First of all, Owen introduces his whole family. So that's not really a big thing. And then he starts talking down about his wife. He says, you don't got to say nothing to her. She's dumb as a melon and she can't remember nothing. So, and then he mentions that the people train doesn't go out of Wichita. It actually goes out of Newton, which says so much to me. The fact that they're actually mentioning Newton in the script.
Wow.
And then it makes me wonder why they actually switched it. You know, goes back to what we were saying, that maybe saying the word Stubbsville is a little funnier. I don't know.
Or maybe Hughes knew someone in... well, they're still nowhere near Chicago, are they? Maybe someone knew Newton or someone famous was born or something.
That I actually didn't check if there's anything that happens in Newton, Kansas. And...
Does it name his wife? No. Does it give his name a wife? Or do we hear that in the
movie? She doesn't have a name at all. She actually has a line... And she's known as wife. But we'll get to that in a second. So first, the script says that they mask their pain as they lift the trunk and hoist it into the truck, barely. And then they quickly load in the other bags, which again goes back to the whole fact that Dell shouldn't be having a problem by lugging this around. And then Owen wants them to actually sit up front and tells his wife that you and the kids should go in the back so the guests can ride up front and not be in the cold. And then the wife wants to get out, and then Del and Neil both jump into the truck into the back, and once again become apologetic and say, "No, no problem, we're fine." And then Owen says, "She don't mind. She resists the cold real good." And then the wife has her one line. She says, "Sometimes I sleep naked." And that just stops their conversation. They have nothing to say. And Del goes, "Isn't that fun? Well, we'll ride in the back, no problem." And then they get in the back. And then Neil turns to Del and says, "We're really going to ride back here?" And Del goes, "I guess so." And then he starts talking about the fact of how much his suit must cost. And that, you know, he's ruining his suit by having to sit in the back of this truck. So, I mean, that's basically the conversation that they have there between the two of them. And we see from this that Neil is not so keen on it as much as Del might be, which has its pluses and minuses by thinking about that. And in order to get into the truck, so Neil needs to let Del step on his knee in order to get into the truck, like as a boost to get there.
Does that come back later in the script? He's got a sore knee as a result, or
I don't remember. We'll get there, and hopefully I'll remember at that point that we talked about this. But then the two of them have a...
I love that line. Sorry about sometimes I sleep naked. That's a funny line. And but yeah, it's all little color. It's all little color that I guess you can easily shade that away. It's not really giving too much more character development between Del and Neil.
Right. But, yeah. but then Del and Neil have a little conversation. I'm not going to go into the whole conversation about the fact that they're both trying to they're showing who they are by the fact that they're sitting in the back and letting her sit up front and stuff like that. So I think it's a nice little conversation. Again, it's not needed. It's fine that they cut it out, but they talk about it. I mean, like Neil defends himself and says, "What do you think I am? I have a heart." And then Del, the reason Del says that they have this conversation is because Del says, "Well, you realize that Newton is a little further than Wichita." And he goes, "Well, how much further?" And he goes, 30 miles. So, you know, here it's a little cut up, but they edited it well. But it still works the way that this conversation goes. So, I mean, you've been on all week and, you know, we've been talking about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So is there anything in particular about the rest of the movie? Something that you wanted to bring up? Maybe do you remember when the first time you saw it was?
Yeah, my background is I didn't really see this movie. I think it was my dad was quite into it, but I didn't really see it for whatever reason until the first few years of university. So I haven't had a childhood connection with it like Dirty Harry and other things, but it's such a well-paced movie, like Dirty Harry is too.
Slightly different movies, but
90 minutes. 90 minutes or whatever, but yeah, it's just perfect. There's no fat on it at all. I suppose the only question I want to ask is, does the movie go too easy on Del? Like, does he really learn anything, or is it all about Neil, I suppose, learns the big
lesson? It's all about Neil.
Yeah, all about Neil.
Del doesn't learn anything from it. I mean, by giving away even the last scene, you know, Del's going to continue acting the way he's always acted because there were no repercussions for Del for anything that he did. Obviously, he's not doing things in a mean way, but he still gets this family Thanksgiving dinner, you know, that type of thing.
Does that work against the movie in a way?
No, I don't think you really think about it. I think most people think of this movie as that it's, you know, a focus on Neil. And that how he's dealing with the fact that he has to travel with Del and not the other way around.
Mm.
And Neil is the one who has the great arc here. Del doesn't have much of an arc.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I just wanted to know if you thought that detracted. Well, is it really I suppose Neil's the main character really, isn't he?
Yeah.
Even though it's under. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? What do you make of the bit where Del, what's that line he has? Like, "I pushed him too hard," or whatever, later on in the film. Is that just something that'll pass and there's no catharsis he has there? Do you know the bit I mean where he goes, "I pushed him too hard," or something like that? Oh, fuck. I should have watched it a bit more recently. The bit where Del sort of... I think it's where he's in the car going, yeah.
No, I don't recall that. I don't recall that.
Okay.
But we'll eventually get there and we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
I pushed him too hard. Anyway, no worries.
Right. All right. So every Friday we have a interesting segment that I call Weekend Candy, where my guest gives their top five John Candy performances. So you want to tell us your top five John Candy performances, John?
I do, and I will. I'm not a huge John Candy fan, it turns out, when I looked at the filmography. As much as I love him, I think he's a great actor with great comic timing. So I'll have to start number five down the bottom with a movie he was only a small part in, Follow That Bird, the Sesame Street mm-hmm. movie. I don't know if you remember seeing that.
Of course I have.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yes.
He's just got a small part in that. But number four, of course, would be Uncle Buck, which, yeah, despite being on TV over and over ad nauseum, is still a great movie, and he's such an iconic performance in that. Three, just Home Alone. He's in it for like 10 minutes or whatever. The polka bit, he's hilarious. Two, Spaceballs. I know a lot of people don't think of that movie that well these days, but, yeah, another childhood favorite.
Oh, I love Spaceballs. You know, I'm a mog. I'm half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Calm the Desert. Yeah, I loved it. I know people say it's lesser Mel Brooks, but it's hilarious. And I hadn't seen Star Wars at that time. So number one, Piece de Resistance. Great. Beep. And movie, Cool Runnings. Yeah, Cool Runnings. He's great in that. Perfect. And one of his last films too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Among them. Anyway.
I think Cool Runnings, I believe, was in 1992 and he died in 94. So he had a few movies that came out after that. But I just have trouble. There were two movies that came out after. Sorry. Cool Running came out in 93.
Oh, okay.
And so then he was in Wagons East and Canadian Bacon. Wagons East was the movie that he was filming at the time that he died. You know, they found him dead in the middle of filming Wagons East. And Canadian Bacon, they had finished finished filming beforehand, and then, you know, it was released afterwards, you know, after he passed on. Yes, definitely too soon.
Sad.
You know, he died at the age of 43, sorry. So we could have gotten so much more from him, both as a comedian and as a dramatic actor, because he does have a few nice dramatic roles, even though they're small ones, and they work quite well. So,
yeah, Steve Martin said Candy was sweet, but kind of a broken-hearted man. I'd love to read a book about him.
I'm sure there are a few biographies out there. I mean, I tried getting in touch with both of his kids to see if either of them would be on this, and neither responded to me. So if you're out there and you're listening to it, so please get in touch. I'll still be willing to talk to you.
That reminds me, I should probably try and get in touch with sexy Scott Eastwood, see if he'd be on that.
You never know.
Dirty Harry Minute.
You never know. He might.
Yeah, I should try. I always just.
You've got nothing to lose to try. Worst comes to worst, he'll say no.
Oh, it was such a coup for you to get David McKellen, man. Good on you. That's awesome.
That's right.
Lucky bastard.
Yes. All right. So another segment that we do every day is Off the Beaten Track, where myself or my guests give a adventure or misadventure of something that happened to us along the journeys of life. So, John, why don't you give us yet another story from you to end things off of this week and of your guesting this week?
Well, I'm so boring. All these stories are from Europe, man. We're living in a Asia Pacific century, but
kangaroo stories.
No. I mean, I saw a kangaroo, a whole family of them 2 days ago in a paddock that's only a K from my house, but they were just hopping along. No, it's all Europe. This is in a town in northern Spain called Burgos. Sorry, my pronunciation. I think it's a Galician name. I was in a monastery, a guided tour, and I had an old VHS camera, and I don't know why. I was just filming some of the statues, and the woman in Spanish evidently said, you know, no filming, or you can't film in this particular area of the church. for whatever reason, I must have known what she was saying, but I didn't understand. So, and this guy next to me translated. He spoke English. And it turned out this guy was actually a Portuguese traveler. Like, he was on there. He was visiting Spain, a bit of a tour with his family. And he gave me his number. And later on, I actually made the decision to go to Portugal. And I met up with him, and he let me stay at his place and take me out in his small yacht. And, yeah, so not really amazing cool. anecdote.
No, but that is. That was great. Randomly met someone in a monastery in Spain and ended up going and meeting up with him in his own country, you know, days, weeks later. That's actually a great story. I don't know why you shouldn't disparage yourself.
It was heartwarming, and I'm still in contact with Carlos, but yeah, great little story.
Oh, did you get him on the Dirty Harry Minute?
No. He likes martial art films, but yeah.
No, but the fact that you're still in touch with him after, what is it, 15 years, that's still pretty impressive.
It is, although it's more of, you know, Facebook keep in touch, but hopefully still, one day he'll come here. There you go. That's good.
All right, excellent. So, John, would you like to tell people for the final time how they can get in touch with you?
Just search Dirty Harry Minute and listen to our podcast reviewing every minute of the 1971 classic. Or even better, just watch the film yourself. It's a good movie. A bit problematic, but great movie, like this one is.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. And to find me, just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find us on Twitter. We can find our website, or you can find us in our Facebook group. So, everyone have a great weekend, and until Monday, you're
You are fu-